I have named this podcast today as Only God, because he's the only one that could do these things. I have the advantage of a perspective that only age can give. I'm 87 years old, and I have the privilege of looking back across my life to see how God led me in paths I did not choose. I did not choose them because I did not know they existed. Throughout my life, I have experienced the orchestrations of God. Several years ago, my son took me to a performance of the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. Our seats were in the upper balcony near the stage. As I looked over the orchestra, they were tuning up for the concert. A man came on the stage with a small baton in his hand, stepped to the podium, and brought the orchestra to attention by tapping his baton on the music stand. He held up both hands and began to bring the orchestra alive. As I observed this, I viewed it from the background of a country boy. As I looked at the instruments, I realized at one time all those instruments were no more than wood in a tree and animal fiber and ore in the ground as copper, zinc, and tin. The raw materials had been gathered, refined, and made into the instruments that were producing marvelous sound and great harmony. Looking at this wonderful orchestra, and hearing the sound, my thoughts turned to God's blessings on our lives to take us from the raw material of humanity and make of us instruments of his grace and righteousness. As he brings these instruments together in his will, they produce a fantastic harmony of ministry and blessings for the world. I'm tempted at this point to launch into the details of how God has orchestrated my life in ways which I could never dream. But I'm going to resist that temptation and give you some vignettes of how I've seen God work his will for his glory. During the 1960s, I was minister to students on college campuses in East Texas. One of them was the Laterno College. I would gather the students together for prayer and Bible study one night a week. Several of the students became missionaries, and some of them formed missionary support groups. But one of the students went to work for a major aircraft company as an aeronautical engineer. After 2 years, he decided the corporate culture was not where he wanted to live. He returned to his home near Houston and resumed rice farming with his family. The family actually had two rice farms about 30 miles apart. My student bought an airplane, a Cessna 170, to ferry equipment and supplies between the two farms. Since he only used the airplane 6 months a year, he let me borrow it for my work with the Baptist Sunday School Board in Nashville, Tennessee, the other 6 months. He later upgraded his aircraft to a Cessna 180 with large wheels called ag wagon wheels. This enabled the airplane to be used on rough ground, unimproved landing strips, and things of that nature. In the 1980s, I returned to Texas with Texas Baptist Men. Later, when I was the interim pastor at First Baptist Church of Beaumont, Texas, the rice farmer felt called to missions. He wanted to join the section of Wycliffe translators that is called JARS, or Jungle Aviation and Radio Service. In order to do that, he had to be debt-free. He called me and said he owed $12,500 on the airplane, and if I would pay it off to make him debt-free, I could have the aircraft. It was actually an $85,000 aircraft. On Sunday morning at the First Baptist Church, I asked the people to pray for me and a project I had that needed quick action, actually by Friday. I did not tell them what it was, because when a preacher says he's praying for an airplane, it might turn some people off, thinking I'm getting it for personal pleasure. After the service was over, the organist asked if it was a secret, or could I tell her what it was. I told her I was praying for an airplane. I needed $12,500 to obtain it by Friday, but I just didn't want to talk about an airplane to the congregation. As I walked away, a layman stepped up and said, Dr. John, I want to talk to you. Is it a secret Dr. John, or can we know what you're praying for? I said, no, I'm just praying that God will lay $12,500 on me by Friday so I can buy an airplane to use in missions. He looked surprised and said with a shocked voice, you're praying that God will lay $12,500 on you by Friday? I said, yes, I have to have the money by Friday. He said, well, I've never prayed that way, but I'm going to try it and see what God does. He called me on Monday and told me he had an extra fund for his retirement. It was about $3,500. I told him not to touch his retirement. I said, that's not the way it works. Pray for God to provide the money for you, for us. And he called the next day and told me that since he had not checked on it in several months, the stock had grown to $7,500. I warned him, please do not touch your retirement money. He told me he was single and had enough retirement set aside for his life, and he wanted to serve God with this fund. Well, I didn't want to get in his way. He called me on Friday and said, oh, Brother John, you won't believe, but this stock has gone up to $12,500 in value, and I'm sending you a check for it right now. He made one request, and that was that I would always keep that money and or that plane in mission service. I promised him I would. For 22 years, the Texas Baptist Men Aviation Fellowship and I used the plane in disaster relief and missionary projects. An example would be when a hurricane hit San Fernando, Mexico. We flew round trip from Brownsville to San Fernando, Mexico, 24 hours a day for 3 days. At night, we took off with the airport lights. In Brownsville, we landed with car lights on an unimproved field, a hay field, actually, in Mexico. Several years later, one of the mechanics in Texas Baptist Men asked me, have you looked at your airplane lately? I told him, no, not in the last week or so. He said, I think you better go look at your airplane today. And I asked, what's up? He said, look, don't ask me, just go look at your airplane. So I went to the airport and found my airplane, and it had small yellow circles all over it. I asked him, why did someone use Crayola on my airplane? He told me that is where either screws are missing or rivets are loose. He said he would volunteer to rebuild the airplane with four of his fellow mechanics, all aircraft mechanics certified, if I would let them. I told him he better do it before it falls apart in the air. I had run over rocks and other things that dented the bottom, and it had been through some pretty rough times. The five aircraft mechanics took the airplane completely apart. You could stand in the front and see out the tail because there was no firewall, no instrument panel, no doors, no headliner, just an empty fuselage. They repaired all the dented metal and the corroded metal from the seaplane days. Suddenly, they were all reassigned to other areas and left me with a fuselage, two wings, an engine, and 27 boxes of parts. After 5 years of waiting to find a way to reassemble it, it would have cost maybe $30,000 to have it redone commercially. I was praying what to do. I felt led to ask $15,000 for it as a project for someone who wanted to rebuild it. That would keep my promise to Warren that his money would stay in missions. I told a friend of mine about it, who was an aircraft mechanic, and he said, let me pray with you about that, Dr. John. Well, this is where the demonstration of God's orchestration begins to be so evident. As far as I was concerned, the plane was ruined and I couldn't use it. It would cost $30,000, like I said, at least to reassemble it. I promised the layman who gave me the $12,500, I would keep his money and the plane in missions. I prayed, God, help me, help me, help me. My friend called me back a few days later and said, there is a school in East Tennessee that trains missionaries to become pilot mechanics, and they are dying to get their hands on your airplane. Wow. I was so relieved. I said, tell him to come get it. And they did. As he was leaving the driveway from my farm, where I have my hangar, the friend whom I met asked to pray for it, said, John, this week I sold some land in East Texas, and the tithe on it is $15,000. I'm going to put that into Amigos Internacionales for you. I thanked him profusely. The money and the plane would stay in mission service. 2 months later, Texas Baptist men gave us a well drilling machine for our project in Uganda, and it cost $15,000 to ship it. Only God could put things together like this, because eventually we dug a well. It went to the school that we'd purchased and the little town of Ogul. It saved people a 2-kilometer walk to get water in a bucket. The well became a people magnet. Our missionary in Uganda said we must put a preacher at that well to witness to the people and give them living water along with fresh water. A few weeks later, the preacher called and said, we must start a church here. We sent him a tent and 150 chairs. He called us back and said, that's not big enough. Please send me a bigger tent and more chairs. Wow, what was happening? Well, today we've started the church and we're averaging 350 people every Sunday. We baptize over 70 on Easter Sunday and converts every Sunday since. Only God's orchestration could have produced an airplane that I used in bush disaster relief work for 22 years, a well drilling machine in Uganda, which produced a church that has been a powerful witness to the people. All I can say is only God could pull off that kind of orchestration over the space of 40 years. I kept my promise of keeping the brothers' money in missions, but neither one of us had any idea how God would use that donation and expand the kingdom. There would be a lot of people on the wall in glory welcoming a brother who made the simple donation that turned into eternal life for so many. And it is still growing. Yes, only God could orchestrate something like this. Only God.